It is always so wonderful and intimidating being back here. it's weird going to speak other places where they don't know me. It's a little bit like, oh, it's okay. Like, worst case, they hate me and I can go and never show my face again. But here, it's a little different. So thank you for having me. It's a huge honor. I'm thrilled to be here. Well, I mean, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Psalm 62. But we're not going to be going super deep tonight because it's Friday. And it's the end of, we're just going to leave that there. It's the end of a long week and we're all really tired. So today we are just going to get excited about the topic and excited to be together. And I am going to read Psalm 62. Actually, I'm going to read Psalm 61 instead because that's the one that I was intending to read to begin with. Lead me to the rock. Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me a heritage of those who fear your name. Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. So I will ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day after day. Lord God, we are in awe of you. Lord, that we can come together on a Friday night and study your word, that we can worship, that we can clap our hands and raise our voices to your holy name is a privilege that we do not take for granted. And God, we thank you that we are here. We thank you for your word. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are a rock that is stronger than we are. Because, dear Lord, we need you. So we pray that tonight would be a night where we would see your face, that we would hear your voice, that we would know you better through this time together. We pray that this weekend would be a blessing to each one of these women as we get to know each other, we get to know ourselves, and mostly we get to know you, God, because we love you. So we just give you this time, Lord. We give you our frailty and our brokenness and our weariness and our busy lives and our filled minds, and we just ask that you would bring us calmness and rest, that you would be our strength in these moments. We just love you so much. We are so thankful for you, and it is in your holy name we pray. Amen. So, as Julie said, my name is Elizabeth, and I have to confess to you guys that I am not a fashion person. I know nothing about fashion. In fact, a couple of you stopped me because I got this shirt off Amazon this week and I didn't know if it was a good shirt or not. So I did what every reasonable person is, and that is I tweeted it out to all my followers because I was like, guys, I'm speaking at a retreat and I don't know if this is an okay shirt or not. And thankfully they came through for me and were like, hey, we think it's probably okay. And I was like, great. Because I don't know. If I have to go somewhere nice, I am on Pinterest. I am asking strangers on the internet, apparently. Most of the time, I'm texting my sisters. But I don't know fashion. However, I know costumes. Because I am a huge nerd. And I love costumes. I think they are fantastic. I love historical costumes. I have a friend who does historical costuming in that she not only like sews costumes and wears costumes, but she like constructs them in like the authentic way, which boggles my mind. I do not have the patience for that. I'm more of a, you know, watching shows to see what the costumes are, or doing theater, seeing the costumes there. I would wholeheartedly, in an instant, dress up in a Star Trek costume to go to a convention if anyone wanted to. That is the level of nerd I am, and I do not hide it, okay? Because I think costumes are awesome. And as much as I love learning about the history of fashion and what people have worn throughout history and why it's important, my favorite type of costumes are mashups. Do you know this word, mashups? A mashup is when you take two very totally different things and you smush them into one. So you could make like a Regency era Wonder Woman. Like, you know, smushing things together. I just think that's so fun. And I just think people are so creative. And so I love seeing what people's minds have invented, because my mind doesn't always do that. But people are awesome and they come up with great things. And I love these mashups. And so I tell you that because I really wanted to tell you about one of my favorite toys that I got when I was a kid. And my mom is here tonight, and I don't know if she even remembers this. But I got, a long time ago, a Crayola fashion plate set. Okay, good. Okay, so you're with me. So for those of you who weren't so lucky to have a Crayola fashion plate, they were plastic, like, embossed plates, and there would be, like, a head and a torso and a body, like bottom half and then feet, and you could mix and match them, and then you put them down and you put a piece of paper over and you did like a crayon etching, and then you could color it in and decorate it. And so for people like me who can't necessarily draw, it was perfect because you get all these things and you can mix and match and make these great, you know, princess dresses or adventure costumes or whatever you want to make. I loved them. And I mentioned that because there is something very cool about being able to mix and match. For me, trying to come up with these great costumes ideas or just loving learning about things, it's really cool to be able to take something that someone else has done and kind of make it your own. You know, to take these fashion plates and to create different things by mixing and matching them all up together. And that's pretty cool. There's actually a lot of areas in life where mixing and matching happens, and that's a good thing. I am not a dancer, but I am told that that's how dancers learn. You know, you have a teacher who teaches you the steps, and you do it over and over and over again until you've perfected it. And then eventually you can take those steps and mix and match them into a totally new dance. Or artists do that. They study under different teachers. They study different types of art and different styles. And then eventually, when they feel like they've mastered those things, then they can take it and make it their own. You know, they can create their own pictures based on the work that they have learned from others. There is something very profound and something very beautiful about being able to take what other people have done and make it your own. And I'm not talking about in like a plagiarism way. I'm talking about in an instructor to a student sort of way, okay? Just so we're clear, I'm not advocating like illegal stuff. I am talking about when a good teacher teaches you how to do something and says, here are the steps that I have taught you. Now you go and make it your own. I think that is awesome. And I think it's important. And I wanted to talk about that tonight because for a lot of us, prayer is the exact same way. We look at prayer or we think about prayer and it doesn't feel natural. It doesn't make a lot of sense. It might feel intimidating or confusing or scary or just weird. There's a lot of things about prayer that don't feel normal. And yet I am here today to tell you that God has given us a book of fashion plates where we can mix and match what other people have done, where we can take the teaching of good instructors who have said, okay, go do what I have done. Because this idea of imitation-based learning that we see in fashion plates or dance or art instructors is actually very biblical. It goes all the way back to those first moments in the garden where God created Adam and Eve and he said, I will make them in my image. To be made in the image of God means that we were made as imitators. That the very heart of our purpose is to be imitators of God. And so this idea that we have a natural tendency to imitate the people around us, to imitate our teachers, is actually very biblical, and it is beautiful in its design. And so when God created us and he said, okay, I'm making you in my image, go and imitate me in the world, he didn't just leave us to figure it out on his own. He was the standard, right? And he has given us his word. And here in this word, he has given us a manual for prayer, a manual that I think often gets overlooked because we think, well, I can't do that. Somebody else's words. When in fact, God is saying, use it. These are the pieces that I'm giving you that you can mix and match and draw from and quote and use as you grow in your walk with prayer. So I'll say this, I have a son and he loves Legos, like loves Legos. His room is painful with Legos because they are everywhere. In fact, I was talking to him the other night because I went to go put him to bed and he stepped on a Lego and he was like, ah. I was like, yeah, it hurts. It really hurts. This is what I've been dealing with for 12 years. And he was like, well, it didn't used to hurt because when he was little, he could just walk on them. It didn't bother him. But he loves Legos. And he loves Legos so much that he studies the books. And he studies the manuals because to him, like a Lego isn't just a set you follow the instructions and build. You do that, and then over time, you pick and choose the pieces you like to create new things. Because each one of those little pieces can do a multitude of things. And he loves that. He loves studying. He is a Lego master. And you and I are never going to be prayer masters. This is not something we can master. It's something we can grow in for the rest of our days before we stand face to face with God. But we can learn. And we have been given a manual filled with ideas that we can take, pieces that we can make our own. And that manual is the book of Psalms. And so often I grew up thinking the Psalms were just beautiful poems or pretty songs or good things to learn. But friends, they are building blocks. And the Lord gave us the Psalms, and he's inviting us to use them like fashion plates or Lego bricks that can be chosen and picked apart and mashed up together as we learn to pray. Because the psalmists echoed our hearts, and we can use those. And I'm so excited about it because it's really fun. When Julie called me and asked me about prayer, I thought, this is so exciting because a couple years ago, right before COVID, my Bible study, I led a Bible study through the Psalms. And this was our favorite part. Like, we used to get together all the time and see the way God used the Psalms throughout the rest of Scripture. And so this weekend, what we're going to do is today is going to be a big picture overview of what to expect. Like I said, we're not going to like tax our brains too much tomorrow morning. However, drink lots of coffee because we are diving in. All right. We are not holding back tomorrow. But tonight I'm going to go easy on you and we are just going to be excited to be here because some of us are coming really tired and some of us are coming with heavy, heavy burdens. And some of us are just so happy to be out of the house. And some of us are just so happy to be with other people. We are coming from all different places. We are at different spots in our lives. We have different stories and different backgrounds and different hopes and dreams and goals. But we all need the Lord and we all need to grow in prayer. And so we are going to do that together. So today, like I said, is all about looking at prayer, and we are going to answer these questions, and they're in your notebook if you want to take notes. You don't have to. I'm a note kind of person, so I try to give people notes, but like, I don't care. You do you. We are going to answer the questions, why pray, and why pray the Psalms, and that's all we're going to do tonight. So that first question, why pray? It's a really important question, isn't it? Because if we're going to spend a whole weekend talking about prayer, we kind of need to back up a little bit. In fact, if I'm really honest, we can't even start with why pray. We need to take another step back and start with what is prayer, right? Because not all of us grew up in the church, and even those of us who might have grown up in the church, we don't always know. Sometimes we throw around these words and expect people to get it, like that it somehow is going to magically stick in your brain like a spitball and make sense. But it doesn't always do that. So prayer, quite simply, is just talking to God. There's nothing more to it than that. It is simply a conversation with our Lord. It is pouring out your heart, the good, the bad, the heavy, the hard. It's making requests. It's thanking him for what he's already done. It's talking to him. It is how we live in communion with him. You know, I already mentioned that we were made in God's image, that is the heart of who we are. I love talking about it. We were image bearers. We were made to bear God's image. And the very fact that he made us in his image means that we can be in communion with him. If we weren't made in God's image, we couldn't actually live in communion with him. We wouldn't be like him enough to exist in relationship. But we are like him, and so we can exist in relationship. In fact, we were made to exist in relationship, and we do that through prayer. We learn about God through the word and the preaching of the word. We praise him through worship, but we know him. We commune with him through prayer. And of course, all those things are mixed and matched. They're all commingled, and that's good. But that's a nice way to think about it. We talk to the ones we love. We get to know him through a conversation. And so prayer is just simply talking to him. It is seeking his presence. It is being in his presence. It's asking for what guidance and wisdom and provision. In prayer, we are submitting ourselves to his authority as king over our lives. We're acknowledging that he's the one worth asking, right? The Bible says we should pray continually, that it's not something that has to start with a dear Lord and end with an amen. It is a ongoing conversation. That's why when we're driving in the car, we can say, dear Lord, I'm running late. Please give me a parking place. Because we're talking to him all the time, and he wants us to. There is no request that is too small or too trivial. You can talk to him about that. Nothing's off the table. Bad hair days, you talk to him. Children being horrible, you talk to him about that too. Struggles in your marriage, you talk to him. Difficulties at work, you talk to him because he is your heavenly father and he loves you and he wants to talk to you. And so we talk to him constantly. And it could be something that we do silently in our hearts. It could be something we do out loud with others. It can be done corporately, or one person prays and we all bow our heads and join along. Prayer is just simply talking to our Father. It is a way in which we live honestly before him. We don't hold back. We don't hide anything. He knows it all anyways. And so we come to him. Prayer is incredibly powerful, and we pray in faith that he will do what he says. And so in a weird sort of way, the answer of what is prayer leads right into and kind of already answers why we pray. We pray because the Bible tells us to. I mean, first and foremost, over and over again, we see it. Paul wrote, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then later he says, we should pray without ceasing. So we pray because the Bible tells us to. And we pray because it brings us closer to the Lord. It's one of the ways that we get to be with our Heavenly Father. It's a privilege. And we pray because we believe it's powerful. James said the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. That prayer is important. But ultimately, as I already alluded to, we pray because we were created to. That prayer, that living in communion with God, is not just something he tells us to do. It is something that he has sewn into the very fabric of our being. That something in us doesn't feel quite right if we aren't living in prayer. That we were created to seek his face. And we do that by prayer. In fact, the very first examples we have of prayer are Adam and Eve talking in the garden to God. Because it's just a conversation with their king, their father. And it wasn't even a very good prayer, you know, they were arguing. So if they can argue with God, as we're going to see, we can too. And we are going to learn this weekend what it looks like to pray deep, meaningful prayers. So that is why we pray. But the truth is, I know a lot of you, and I suspect a lot of you already knew most of that. That you kind of knew what prayer was. But that you came here because you wanted a weekend out of the house. Or you came because you knew there was going to be coffee. You came because you just needed some time to worship. Or you wanted to make new friends. But maybe you came because prayer feels weird to you. And if it does, you are not alone. Because despite the fact that prayer was sewn into the very fabrics of our being, we live in a broken world and prayer feels weird. If you have ever felt like you're talking to an empty room, I get it. I have been there. I am going to do my best not to shy away from being honest with you guys this weekend and to be upfront the fact that I have struggled with prayer in my life. That there have been times when I did not want to talk to God. Not that I didn't know the words, but that I didn't like him enough because he wasn't there for me. And there are times when God, even in that, not there are times, he is always, even in that, gracious and kind and loving. And so when I stand here and I talk to you about prayer, I want you to know that I am not a prayer master, that I am sharing with you what I have struggled to learn, but that these are things that have helped me. So why pray? We pray because we are created to. But then the big question, why should we pray the Psalms? Well, I mean, I think I kind of started to answer that. The Psalms really are amazing. They are a hymnal, a hymn book. They are a liturgy, a collection of poems and songs that were written by a number of different people. In fact, there's 150 Hebrew poems in the Psalms. They were written by a lot of different people. King David wrote the most, a whopping 73. But other people wrote them too. And many were meant to be sung. They were, in fact, the word psalms comes from a Greek word, that means songs sung to stringed instruments, because many of them were. And so we have this collection of songs that were all put together. They are beautiful in their construction. They are stunning in their poetry. But they are also examples of the prayers of the hearts of God's people. These were actual prayers that they wrote. And it's really cool to study the construction of the Psalms, and we're not going to go into it too much. But when you look at the Psalms, you will see that there are songs of praise and there are songs of lament. And most of the time, it is one of the two, but they are almost all combined. In fact, it's really interesting looking at the pattern of the Psalms. They tend to start with songs of lament, and they work towards songs of praise. And it's just an awesome collection of prayers. And the best thing about the Psalms, the thing I like probably the most, is that the psalmists do not hide what they're feeling. They do not hide their pain. They do not hide their anger, their fear, their confusion, their frustration. They don't hide their joy and their excitement. They don't hide anything. And so when we talk about the Psalms, we are looking at honest examples that God's people have used from throughout history to know God. The Psalms have been used throughout the history of the church, going all the way back to the days of the temple. They were a part of worship. So tomorrow we're going to be looking at specific prayers of different people in the Bible. And I say that because it's important to know that they knew the Psalms. The people in the Bible, they knew their psalms because it was an important part of their worship. In fact, when Jesus appears on the road to Emmaus, you know, and he explains all the things that had happened, it said he explained in part by the Psalms, because the Psalms teach us a lot of things. In fact, you'll see on your notes, the first thing the Psalms teach us is they teach us about prayer. Quite simply, as we've already kind of said, because I got excited and a little ahead of my notes here, is that the Psalms teach us about prayer. They are examples of prayer. You can read them and say, wow, that's a really cool prayer that someone prayed. Because all of them are prayers, every single one. If you open it up, you can see examples of different ways, different formats, different patterns, different words that people have prayed. And when we pray the Psalms, we are joining with believers throughout history. We are praying with them. And I think that's amazing. I think we often in our church today, and just our world today, don't spend a lot of time thinking about our ancestors or our history or our heritage, as the psalm we read this morning or just a minute ago talks about. And yet the psalmists invite us to join believers, God's children, throughout the ages and sing with them. And that is beautiful and important. So the Psalms teach us about prayer. And the cool thing is, when we read the Psalms, we will naturally just start absorbing the things that the Psalms talk about. We will absorb themes and words and concepts. And that's good because remember I said we are imitators, we were made to imitate. And the cool thing about being imitators, because we are image bearers, is that we will naturally imitate whatever we're closest to. It's just what imitators do. We're like mirrors. We just can't help it. That's why when you're a teenager and your parents get worried about the friends you have, or if you're a parent and you worry about your teenager's friends, it's because you know that the people you are around will influence you. You will start acting like it. Your kids are going to start acting like the people they're around because we are imitators. We were made to imitate. And so when you read the Psalms, even just casually, I'm not even talking about like doing in-depth study. I'm talking about just every now and then spending time just reading them. You will naturally absorb these concepts, these ways of praying, these ideas and beautiful ways of talking to the Lord, and it will influence the way you pray. And I'm telling you right here and now that that is a very good thing. That's not cheating. That's why God gave us the Psalms in the first place. So, you know, this weekend, we are going to be doing that, and I'm hoping that this is very practical for you, that when you leave here tomorrow afternoon, you will leave feeling like you've been equipped to enhance your prayer life as we look at the Psalms together. Okay, so the Psalms teach us about prayer. They also teach us about ourselves. I don't know about you, but sometimes I really struggle with feeling like, I'm trying to think how to put this into words, like maybe it's vain to be too introspective, right? And I think sometimes we get these messages that we shouldn't worry about ourselves very much. We should be focused on others, and that's good. We need to be outward focused. That is absolutely important. And thinking about ourselves too much is not a good thing. But I also want you to know that you need to know yourself in order to be honest with God. Because if you don't understand where you're struggling, if you don't understand what's going on in your own heart, if you're not willing to be honest about what's actually happening, you can't be honest with God. And He's your Father. He's your Heavenly Father, your King. And you know, He already knows. He knows all of it. You don't have to be embarrassed. He knows. But He invites us to share with Him. And so the Psalms are excellent ways to get to know your own heart, because you'll be reading words of people who are just like you, who have dealt with struggles just like you have. I'm on Instagram a little bit. Like, I have it, and sometimes I like scroll through. I don't post very often, but I often scroll through enough to know that there is a trend right now where people, the whole "this is not my face" trend. Some of you have heard this. Okay, so Instagram has these great high-tech filters that you can use when you're taking a little video, and it makes your face look very professionally made up, like very beautiful, like really big eyelashes and smooth pores, and they're fantastic. I don't know if you like that kind of thing. So anyways, there's a trend right now for you to take a video and be like, "This is not my face." And they talk about it, and then they're like, "This is my face." And they turn the filter off, and you're like, "Wah, that's our face." And it's supposed to be kind of shocking, but also then they're like, "But I love my face," which is good, because you should love your face. You don't need filters. I tell you that because sometimes Sunday morning in church is filtered Christianity. Sometimes when we walk into church on Sunday morning, we have taken great pains to make ourselves look nice. And we have taken even greater pains to make the people we're with look nice. And we are tired and we are ragged, but we put on happy smiles. And we say things are fine. And we say amen. And we clap our hands or we raise our hands. We do whatever it is we need to do to look the part. But you can't look the part when you pray. The Psalms show us unfiltered Christianity. The Psalms show us people saying deep, meaningful, powerful things. Sorry, I looked at my Bible to quote something random, and it said, "Kill them, lest my people not forget." Sorry, it was dramatic, and it threw me for a second. But that's the whole point. The Psalms don't hold back. The psalmists aren't willing to say, hey, I'm going to look the part, or hey, it's not that bad, or hey, it must be worse for them. They're saying, no, my very life is at stake. Why have you forsaken me? And they meant it. And we can read the Psalms and say, you know what? I feel that way sometimes too. And you know what? I can pray that with them. And that's the beauty of the Psalms. They can teach us about ourselves. The Psalms are like an archaeologist's brush, pushing away the dust of that filtered Christianity, of that niceness that we sometimes put on, and leaving us with the bare bones, the real us. The real us that argued with our spouse on the way out the door. The real us that was so frustrated with our kids. The real us that gossiped about our boss. The real us that hid in the bathroom because we couldn't face it. The psalmists show us that, and they show us that it's okay. That you are not alone. And that God is not scared. He's not offended, and he's not hurt when you bring those to him. And so the Psalms teach us about prayer. They teach us about ourselves. And then lastly, they teach us about God. And isn't that just like the most important thing ever? I love the Psalms because when you're reading them, it doesn't feel like you're reading a primer. It's not like, these are the things you need to know about God. Instead, the psalmists just talk about him. They give him names that we can cling to. They show us his nature and his character that we can rest in. In the Psalms, we see God's love, his grace, his provision. We see him lifted up as king and lowered as savior. We read about his deep, unfathomable, never-ending love, his constant presence, even when we feel alone. It is not for no reason that the Psalms are called the little gospel. Because when we read the Psalms, we read about God creating man, man leaving God, and God bringing him home. And we need that. Our hearts need that. So we pray. We talked about why we pray. We talked about why we pray the Psalms. And I'm going to add one more little one really quick. And that is, how do we pray the Psalms, right? Because that's kind of a big question. And that's kind of what we're going to do this weekend. This weekend, we're going to look at how to pray the Psalms. But I got to tell you, we're going to do it in a little bit of a weird way. So I hope you all forgive me. Often, I like to just teach through a passage, like pick one psalm and talk about it. But we're not going to do that this week. We're going to kind of branch out. So I'll say this. One way to study the Psalms or to pray is to simply read them, to simply open up your Bible and read it as a prayer of your heart. You can even change the words. So instead of, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? You can say, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? Or in times when the Psalms say things like, you know, most of these are in first person, so it's easy because they're in first person. But if they're not in first person, you can change it. You can say my or I. You can pray them to the Lord word for word from the Psalms. Or you can mix and match themes. You can say, hey, this is a psalm of lament. I can pray a psalm of lament like that. Or this is a psalm of praise. I can pray a psalm of praise. I can take themes and concepts and I can work them into my own prayers. You can mix and match sections, taking just a verse here, just a verse there. I just a minute ago, I think it's Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? It's one of the first psalms I memorized, and I don't have the whole thing memorized, but that verse, man, it has kept me. And I cling to it, and it's just one little verse, but it means so much to my heart. So you can mix and match, or you can do what we are going to do all day tomorrow, and that is you can cling to specific words and concepts that the Psalms present. So tomorrow, when you get here, we are going to turn super practical. And instead of looking at specific psalms or digging into that, we are actually going to look at three specific prayers from the Bible. Because I want you to know that I am not just making this up. I am not just saying, hey, the Bible says you can use the Psalms, go and be free. I'm going to say the Bible says you can use the Psalms, and here are three specific people in the Bible who did just that, who prayed to God, and their prayers are recorded, and their prayers directly draw from the Psalms themselves. So you can see how it works. You can see how they did it. I don't know why y'all aren't excited. That's really exciting. I'm going to give it to you. I feel like I'm just going to give you a cheat sheet before the test. I'm just going to give you the whole test, right? You can take it with you. You have all the answers. That's what we're going to do tomorrow. Drink more coffee, okay? All of you. That is what we are going to do tomorrow. And I'm really excited about it. I'm excited because it matters to me to know that there are people in the Bible who struggled with things that I struggled with. And it matters to me to know that I am not alone. And it matters to me to know that God loved us enough, not just to send his son to die on the cross for us and save us, but to fully equip us to live a life in communion with him. That he's not just saying, go out and figure it out on your own. He's saying, look, here's a psalm. I opened tonight by reading to you Psalm 61. It is a cry of David. It is a psalm, one of those 70 some odd that David wrote. And he most likely wrote it, theologians believe, when he was running from Saul. And so probably we believe he wrote it when he was literally hiding in the rocks that surrounded Jerusalem. He was in a cave. And as he was there hiding, having left everything he knew and loved, having left Jerusalem, the city that was near and dear to his heart, he felt like he was at the ends of the earth. He said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And that right there, that's prayer. Prayer is going before God and saying, you alone can lead me to the rock. And I need that rock so much. Prayer is acknowledging that we are not the highest thing. It is longing to be with the one who is and the one who invites us to come. And so this weekend, we are going to look at what it means to experience prayer. And I say experience very deliberately because prayer is not supposed to be passive. It is not something we hope will happen or we let happen or something even that we bow our heads and fold our hands and just sit there. Prayer is meant to be personal, something that we actually experience actively. And the Psalms invite us to do that because they invite us to make prayer our own, to make it personal. And God is inviting us to do just that. So we are going to end there tonight. I hope you will come back tomorrow. And I will just close by saying, I'm just so happy to be with you all. Thank you for having me. Let me close this in prayer, and then we can break to discussion. Lord God, we are so grateful to you. Thank you for creating us to pray. Thank you for making it something that is integral to who we are, and thank you for giving us instructions, or else we would not be able to do it. We love you. We are grateful to you, and we just give you this weekend. We just praise your name, for you are the Holy One. You are the rock. It's in your name we pray. Amen.